We are again in Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to read the 10th verse with the 18th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, reading the 10th verse and the 18th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I will continue at verse 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Heavenly Father, again we bow before you. We are your children. Father, we need you. We need your help. We need your guidance. Lord Jesus, you told us that without me ye can do nothing. And it's true, and we know it. We know it in experience, and we know it by your word. So I bow before you once again, my own head and heart. And Lord, I acknowledge there's nothing in me. And these that will sit and hear these stammering words, there isn't anything in them to respond to the scripture unless the blessed Holy Spirit aids them and aids me. Please help us. Help us to understand your word. Help us to apply it. Help us to live it. Help us to be obedient servants. Lord, teach us to pray. It's what your own disciples said to you. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. It is a request of our own hearts and the admission of our own failure that we bow before you. Help us now this day, we pray. Bless not only our service here, how we plead with you for an unction for Brother Bob as he ministers there at New Beginnings today. All of our missionaries, those that have already spent their day serving you, the wounds there in Nepal. For our brethren there in Brazil, already ahead of us as well. But then those that will follow, God, how we ask you, bless your word. And maybe today's the day that the Father says, receive your bride. And so, Lord, you've told us to look, to anticipate, to wait, to be obedient. But, Father, should this hour pass and you not come still, please talk to us. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, as we consider all the ways in which our lives are to be transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is, of course, even in his church. Turn back to chapter 4, please, and let's just remind ourselves as we began this search a little over a year and a half ago now. Our Bible here reminds us that pastors and preaching, false prophets, as they're described, those in verse 14 that would come in with cunning craftiness, all of these are areas that you and I, as God's people, are to grow. our personal lives in response to the gospel and to the word of God are to be changed. We still have an old life, an old nature. And how do we respond to this world and to the sinful world around us? We know that this is an immoral world that we live in. And the world has a wrong view of so many things. We are instructed that in chapter 4 and verse 21, where the Bible says, "If so be that ye have heard him," the Lord Jesus, "and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Wrong views in so many areas are to be in contrast. We mentioned to you that in our Sunday school time, Brother Woon has a man who calls himself a Christian and has come to the church there in Kathmandu, says he's a Christian. He has left his wife and child and had now taken up with a teenage girl who was a Hindu. How does such thinking find its way into people who say that they've been saved from their sins? That is what biblical Christianity is about, isn't it? Joseph was instructed, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That is the mark of one that's truly been converted. We are people being saved from sinful actions. And yet we must continually have the word of God applied to our hearts, because we too can become dull of hearing and think that God's instruction is for somebody else but not for me. The marriage relationship, the family, church relationships, how we respond as employees, employers, all of these human interactions, Christ is to be head in every aspect of my life. If he's to be head, and his word is to define how I relate to my wife relates to me, how we relate to our children, how our children relate to us. In all of these relationships, the word of God is the controlling factor. It's the parenthesis in which God's people are to live. And in every way, Satan is working in every one of our lives to move us outside of those perimeters God has set. Either by some overt action or in the thought. In the thought. When the Apostle Paul begins to come back to chapter 6, please, if you would. Verse 11, which we did not read, says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles." They are in plural. There are many. Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, says, "We're not ignorant of his," Satan's, "devices." And so with such anticipated opposition to everything that is right and pure and good in your life, in my life, as a Christian, we can anticipate in every area and that the enemy is going to try to delude God's word and its influence in my life. And the more contact that we have with the world, and the less contact we have with God's word, we'll discover that the world rubs off on us. The world's thinking rubs off on us. Those of you that have jobs in the secular world, I did at one time as well. I was a welder by trade. And when you're around a bunch of construction men, they are both profane in their mouth and they are profane in their living. And unless we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, we find things rubbing off on us. If we're in a place where we're constantly hearing cursing, do you know that can rub off on the believer? And you can find that you're riding down the road someday and somebody cuts you off and one of those words will pop into your head that you're hearing on a constant basis where you work. I've had that happen to me. And what do we as believers do? Sometimes we're shocked to think that such a word came to our mind. God forgive us. God forgive us. So with all of this, the word wiles there means craft. As a serpent hides and secludes itself for the opportunity to strike. The wiles of the devil, and in their many different facets. That word wiles means, from the Greek, methodia. Craft or deceit. And they're plural, they're many. And so with such anticipated opposition, verse 10 tells us, as we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I would say to you that we have a sovereign Lord. He is guarding us. His supply of power is sufficient for us. So we have a sovereign Lord. And beginning in verse 11, where it says, "Put on the whole armor of God," I would say we have a superior armor. Sovereign Lord, superior armor. And now as we look at this 18th verse, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." I would say we have a sympathizing spirit. So we have come to this 18th verse, which we know places all of the emphasis of our warfare back on our responsibility to pray. Verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We want to look at this, break it down in our thinking this morning to our time of prayer, our types of prayer, and our trainer in prayer. Our time of prayer, our types of prayer, and our trainer in prayer. Now, all you generally have to do to a Christian is say to them, "Let's talk about prayer," and in a moment, You have an immediate twinge that there's some failure in my prayer life. And the enemy certainly reminds us of that as well. So let's consider this morning. And I do want you to look at this verse of scripture in the context of warfare. Not just in the context of prayer. I want you to look at it in the context of warfare. So, our time of prayer. When the apostle here has concluded this picture that is so familiar in the Apostle Paul's day. if we had used similar language in our day and had talked about maybe the all of the instruction, since the apostle begins with in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So we could reference that to all of the training that a modern soldier is prepared to deal with. So he's got all of the armor on him, and he's been fully trained how to use every piece of it. And if we were to talk about the grenades and the guns and the knife and the bayonet and all of those things that are described in a modern soldier, you've got the picture in your mind. We see it on the news all the time of our soldiers all dressed, boots on, camouflage on, helmets on, backpacks. They've got every imaginable weapon at their disposal. We see all of that picture. Paul is finished in his day with that picture. But now he says to them, praying always. The armor is on, but none of it will do you, none of it will satisfy what you need, unless we, as God's people, pray. Pray our time of prayer. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, what did he say to them? He told them, he said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. If we're thinking here in terms of a warfare, a spiritual warfare, the Apostle Paul now takes the believers away from this earthly picture to the spiritual reality. Praying. We must be careful not to let the enemy break our line of communication. Rick would certainly know about this, those that have been involved in the military know how important it is to keep communication going on between the generals and the infantrymen and all of those layers of soldiers and officers that lie between. To cut off the communication, the army is in chaos. They don't know what their orders are. They don't know which way to turn. Paul says here to these believers, praying always. You have the armor, praying always. Let there be no break in your communication. And I would say to you a verse that I often repeat and remind you of. When Peter wrote these words, for Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. If it is the purpose of the Lord Jesus to bring you and me to God, to the person of God, to the revelation of God, to understand God, it goes to understand that Satan is working, the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high place. Satan is doing what he can to cut you off, to minimize the influence, the direction, and the counsel that God would give to us. But Jesus died so that we might have clear communication with God. Our time of prayer, praying always, praying always. If you and I are going to be effective in the conflict, there has to be a continual ear to God. Now, just as when Paul wrote to Thessalonica and says to them, pray without ceasing, you and I know we cannot live every day on our knees, can we? Can't do that. You can't work. You can't provide. So when the apostle makes that statement, he's not trying to put us all in a secluded monastery someplace and spend all of our lives praying. He's not saying that. But as soldiers, we're to constantly be ready and anticipating the next set of orders, the next guidance from God. And where is that found? How is that to be maintained? Praying always. The time of prayer. Now we could talk in the general sense. You have a time of prayer probably in the morning when you wake up. You have some time where you pray. There may be some time in the evening when you have a set time of prayer. I'm not wanting to focus on that. I think you understand that that's important to have some disciplined times to pray. And very often we may fail in that. That may be the very area where we are failing as soldiers. We're not being faithful in those disciplined times that we know we should have to pray. I think this is part of that. But I want us to focus more on the warfare side of this. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual conflict that we're engaged in. And all of the armor that God has given to us is a spiritual armor. And for all of that armor to be utilized by us in defense to all of the wiles, all of these devices, all of these things that are coming at us. I picked up Brother Marion Price. Some of you would not know that name. He recently went to be with the Lord, but he was a praying man. And he wrote a little booklet called The Realities of Prayer, being such a man of prayer himself. And reading through that just stirred my heart again to see my own defects in my prayer life and to purpose to work on some of those defects, the undisciplined areas in my own heart, which in turn makes me a target. It makes you a target in this thing called the spiritual warfare. Praying always. So yes, there are these designated times that we should definitely spend in prayer. But Paul is looking beyond that. And he's saying to you and I that we ought to, not only in the time, but in every circumstance. Hold your place here and return to the Psalms with me, if you would. Turn to Psalm 55. Turn to Psalm 55. us to get a sense here of this type of prayer that David prayed in the midst of his conflicts. Psalm 55 verse 1 says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." Now, some of you can maybe relate to this type of praying. "Because of the voice of my enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." Look at Psalm 57, verse 1. Psalm 57, verse 1. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities are overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." I read these Psalms to you, and there are many others that are like these, where David begins, either in prayer or in citing, how critical the moment is, how critical the circumstance is. And what does he do? He prays. He prays. When the Apostle Paul says here, all of this armor being in place, he says, praying always in every circumstance. So we're thinking of this, our time of prayer. It's to be always and in every circumstance. And no matter where we find ourselves or what the circumstance is, we are ready to pray. And what do we have? We have a sovereign Lord. Verse 10 of, come back with me to Ephesians chapter 6 now, and this 10th verse, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I want you to understand that every circumstance, every wile of the devil, every device that he throws at us is the avenue that God has determined for the power of the Son of God to come to your defense. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Our time of prayer, always ready to listen. I almost entitled this message, "Soldier, listen for your orders." Second of all, not only do we consider this our time of prayer, but also our types of prayer. Our types of prayer. We've already cited these portions of Scripture in the Psalms. Our Bible here tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication. All prayer and supplication. These circumstances solicit our prayer. I remember when Pastor Danny Harden resigned from the church here back somewhere in around 2010. And then Pastor Lenny Rogers came and had a good ministry here for those years. And he began by his ministry, morning service ministry to us, was Nehemiah. And I benefited it was tremendous exposition in Nehemiah that helped me in so many ways. But we remember Nehemiah. Nehemiah begins by getting the bad news. Jerusalem, the walls are torn down, the gates are burned with fire. And when Nehemiah hears that, he's broken. He begins to weep. And he begins to pray. And from December, January, February, March, for 4 months he begins to pray. He's praying. He's praying. He's praying. And it's finally his apparently turn in April to come before the king as the king's cupbearer. But he couldn't hide his face. And the king recognizes there's something wrong with you. That could have been a death sentence. But he then breaks down before the king and says why his fat countenance has fallen. Because the city of his fathers, the walls are burned down and the gates are burned with fire. And the king says, well, what are we going to do about it? What is your request? And in that moment, the Bible says, so I prayed to the Lord. Well, he didn't get down on his knees and usher a prayer. He had already been praying. But in that little moment, just like you in your mind, in your mind, in some little moment of time, you throw out, oh God, help me. So we carry this over into the battle, praying always with all prayer and supplication. There are times when it's throwing out this little prayer in the moment of a conflict. And sometimes it is spending great periods of time on your knees, begging God for aid and help to have the right response. Where did Jonah pray from? He prayed from the belly of the whale. He cried out to God. Our Lord Jesus, if you remember, spent all night in prayer on a mountain prior to calling the ones that God laid on his heart to name as his disciples. Yes, there are times when we have these strong cryings, praying always with all prayer and supplication. There is this urgency for us to pray, this burden for us to pray. And so he says, there are times when you're watching, as we look here at this 18th verse, he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. The word there, watching, means sleepless. There are some times when you can't sleep because the battle is so real in your own life. Perseverance. This steadfast, unremitting care until it's absolutely received. In other words, it's a battle. Prayer is a battle. Have you not found prayer at times to be a warfare? I couldn't tell you how many times I've gotten down to pray and then had my mind bombarded with everything that I haven't gotten done so as to almost make it impossible to pray. But I have also had times when I've gotten down to pray and God has reminded me to pray for this and to pray for that and to pray for this. I've told you about one instance a number of years ago Well, the young man, or the brother who was best man at my wedding. And I'm simply sitting in my in the office over here. This is several years ago. Sitting over in the office, and in a moment, the Holy Spirit says to me, "You need to call Tim." I would say that that's being, as this scripture says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto. This attitude of being ready at any moment for God to talk to us. And so the Lord speaks to my heart, says, "You need to call Tim." Okay. I called Tim. Belinda, his wife, had just gotten up off her knees, and she had been saying, "Lord, have Ben call Tim." Well, that's God, isn't it? That's God working in our lives and ordering us as just what we need in a moment of time. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I wanted to read this to you. I wrote this somewhere, and this was an experience I had somewhere, I want to say late 2014 or early 2015. It was a letter that I sent out to people who had been praying for us. So it's clearly in the early part of January. And I cite this verse of scripture, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I'm just going to read now. You immediately recognize this as part of the concluding verses of scripture that deal with the spiritual warfare. This history of godly believers, the history of godly believers, who have had a life, will be told in eternity, who have been faithful at that. Last week, at a prayer time of local pastors, one who was born and bred here in North Carolina told of a childhood memory. The time period was in the late 1940s or early 50s. And the pastor began by describing an older man who was a little simple, I put that in quotation marks. A little simple. Not a politically correct term, mildly retarded, maybe is what would have been said back in that day and time. In the evenings, this man would pass by this pastor's childhood home on his way walking up into the mountains. As the man passed by, at that time, young boy, would call out to him as he was walking by, say, "Where are you going?" The reply would always be, "Son, I'm going to pray." When the man reached his destination, he would begin to pray, and his praying could be heard in all the valley. So he's not praying in silence. He's praying out loud. And anyone in the neighborhood could have heard him praying up on the hillside. But he also had a peculiar habit. Each time that he prayed, this old man, a little simple, each time he prayed, he stacked a little stone as a memorial to that prayer. The pastor that was telling this story as a young man played all over those hills. And he said, all over those hills were little mounds of stone. So the man didn't go to just one place. He wherever he had decided to end up is where he would begin to pray. And whatever he prayed about, he took a little rock and he laid it there. I don't know if he built them all up in one day or if he came back to that spot and continued to build up little prayers. He was praying for people. The pastor said as a child, there were mounds all over those hillsides. And even though this man was a, in quotes, little simple, anytime someone had trouble, they knew where to go. They found this man and asked him to pray. And this pastor testified that there were many answers to prayer. And nothing even deterred him from going to his place of prayer in the evening. He said that once there was an ice storm that had completely shut down. And he was growing up in the Piedmont, so, and this was in Morganton, North Carolina. Once an ice storm had brought everything to a standstill, but there he came up the road. When the young fellow stuck his head out and saw him coming, he said, asked how he was able to stand up on the ice. He showed the bottoms of his shoes. He had nailed Coca-Cola bottle caps to the bottoms of his shoes to give him traction. And off he went to pray. I wrote in the letter, I said, oh, I forgot to tell you his name. Buford Barnes. I'm sure you've heard of him. No? Well, I hadn't heard of him either. There are no earthly books written about him. But I know where he has amassed many volumes. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And our final thought this morning, in the Spirit. You have one that would train you to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I would say that Buford Barnes had been trained by the Holy Ghost to pray. A simple man. But he believed God. He believed God would answer prayer. Look at this in the light of all the conflict that comes into your life. All of this encroachment by the enemy to destroy you. Jesus told us that when he left, he would send the Holy Spirit. And that he would guide you into all truth. John 16 verse 13. He'll guide you into all truth. Paul would also write to the Roman believers and he would say to them that it is the Holy Spirit that creates the burden for you to pray. Men pray. There are people all over this world who have a desire to pray. Think of the many Buddhists that pray. And they send prayer flags. And they have their prayer wheels that they turn, hoping that their prayers will be answered. But the Holy Spirit guides us to pray. Listen as I read to you from Romans chapter 8. The Bible says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry. We cry, Papa, Abba. We cry, Abba Father. Who has put that into us? The Holy Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He'll guide you. He'll help you. With all of the armor on, it will stand of little value to you if you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God, if you are quenching His working in your heart. But if you will walk with God and obey God's word and keep short accounts with God, He'll put that cry of Abba, Father, in your heart. And He'll burden you to pray. He'll burden you how to pray and guide you on what you should pray about. We are in absolute, utter dependence on Him. The Bible even tells us likewise, you're familiar with this in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is creating a longing in our hearts to pray and to acknowledge our complete dependence on Him. And He is the one who gives us the call to watch. What does He say here in Ephesians? Praying always with all prayer and supplication and watching, watching. He makes us sleepless. He reminds us we need to get up. There is a self-indulgence that all of us have. We all would like to spend a little more time in bed at times. And that's, I cast no stone at you. I only talk about me. I say it's me. We all would like to stay a little more time in bed. But some things are of such urgency that the Holy Spirit moves on our hearts that we can't. You know, we're waiting on the results here this week about Ruthie and her biopsy. What if we get the news that it's cancer? What if we get the news that more tests need to be done to see if it's cancer and if it's moved? Do you think that we will casually, on a whim, pray? There'll be an urgency, won't there? And God orchestrates some things in our lives that are intended to put the exclamation point that they are urgent. He calls us to watch. He calls us to persevere. And He calls us to care for all of the saints. He writes to a church, not to pastors. He writes to a church for us to carry the burden for one another. You know, there is a camaraderie in the gospel, and there's a camaraderie in the conflict. Satan's plan is to shut down God's army. He wants to shut us down. He wants to discourage us. He wants to raise up such accusations against us to neutralize us. If you put all of this in the context of warfare, the armor, the praying, we immediately recognize that no battle can be successful if the enemy has found a way to neutralize the opponent. either by discouragement. You know that during the Second World War, all of the propaganda that was going on, what was the Japanese lady that Rose, Tokyo Rose, was that her name? Tokyo Rose, that came out and tried to talk to the American troops. Oh, you're losing. This battle is lost. The Japanese are taking over this island, and they're battling here, and they're winning there. All of it to discourage. Propaganda. Do you not recognize that every day you're under the propaganda of an enemy? Whispering to your mind, there's no reason for you to go on and fight. You don't need to spend time in prayer. You don't need to make certain that you're not listening to Satan or sin. We're under such a battle. Don't let the enemy neutralize you. And if you recognize that the enemy has had a way to neutralize you, then repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. Paul goes on to say in this 19th verse, he says, don't only pray for them, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, if there's an emphasis that the Holy Spirit is making in this scripture, it is about the warfare. It's not just about you're praying for grandma who stumped her toe. This is praying about the warfare. This is praying about the furtherance of the gospel. This is praying about souls that are lost and the urgency to pray. So whenever you read something on prayer, it stirs your own heart to recognize the deficiencies and the places where you've been defeated. Don't let the enemy defeat you any longer. Confess and forsake. Praying always. Pray without ceasing. Be always ready. Let every circumstance be the moment not in which you are defeated, but to recognize, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's why I read that verse and jumped right to verse 18. Because the two must go hand in hand. The Holy Spirit will teach us, guide us, help us, instruct us on when and how and how intense. And sometimes the orders are, it's time to clean the latrine. Sometimes that's what the orders are. And sometimes it's hand-to-hand combat. So however and whenever the Holy Spirit works in your heart, let's pray that God will help us to have a ready ear to the one who has bought us with his own blood, and God helping us to having done all to stand. Heavenly Father, help us, we pray. We confess our failures and our defeats. Help us to see them and acknowledge them not as mere deficiency but as sin. God, help us not to in any way engage in treason. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 371. If you would stand with me as we sing together, then we'll sing all four verses. Number 371, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Lord, it's to that last phrase, Christ only always living in me. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord bless you.